Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm your guest bailiff, Monty Belmonte from WRSI in Northampton, Massachusetts, in for Jesse Thorne. This week, axed and answered. Jen brings the case against her boyfriend, Adrian. Adrian has his heart set on buying and displaying an artisanal axe in their home. Jen says it breaks her rule against having weapons in the home and opens them up to other beautiful but dangerous items. What's next? Hand-carved imperial jade dragon swords? Adrian says to the old battle axe, from my cold artisanal hands, and that an artisanal axe would be a beautiful and practical item to own. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and issues the obscure cultural reference.
Summertime guest bailiff Monty Belmonte, did I ever tell you about my dream axe?
No.
Let me tell you about my dream axe. Seeing an axe in a dream foretells that what enjoyment you may have will depend on your struggles and energy. To see others using an axe foretells that your friends will be energetic and lively, making existence a pleasure when near them. For a young woman to see an axe in a dream portends her lover will be worthy, but not possessed with much wealth. A broken or rusty axe? Can you guess, Monty?
That you're going to get some sort of disease?
Illness. Exactly. Illness. And loss of money and property. Pretty good, guest bailiff Monty Belmonte.
Yeah.
Swear him in.
My dream axe is a 1968 gold top Les Paul.
Oh, you're talking about guitars.
Yes.
Gotcha. I'm talking about axes and dreams.
I got it.
Swear him in.
Jen and Adrian, please rise and raise your right hands. Now, Jen,
yes.
Put your right hand on the table. Adrian, reach for your artisanal axe and bring... No, stop.
Neither of them have been committed of stealing.
Right. Not this country. Do you swear that you cannot tell a lie and that it was you who chopped down the artisanal cherry tree with an artisanal axe, so help you George Washington or whomever?
I swear.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that using the wisdom of Solomon and a sword, the judge may cut this baby right in half?
Yes.
I swear.
Okay, good. You can swear too, John. Thank you, Judge John Hodgman. You may proceed.
Guest bailiff Monty Belmonte, summertime again. Thank you for joining us live from the studios of WRSI in Northampton, Massachusetts, 93.9 on your FM dial or on the internet at
WRSI.com.
WRSI.com. I come to you live from the radio stations of WERU in Blue Hill, Maine, 89.9 on your FM dial or WERU.org. Maine Community Radio. Guess what it stands for? We Are You. I figured that out last summer and I was so proud.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Joel Mann at WERU is here engineering. We are talking via two radio stations to two human beings who are named Jen and Adrian. You may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of your favors. Can you name the piece of culture that I was paraphrasing as I entered the courtroom in my phony dialogue with Monty Belmonte? Jen, you are the plaintiff. You bring this case before me for justice. You get the first swing at the bat. That's kind of a sports metaphor. What is it?
It sounds like it's from an Interpreting Your Dreams book, but I could not tell you the name of one.
I think it probably did originate in an Interpreting of Dreams book, but that's not where I was quoting it from. Adrian, I'm certain you will not be able to guess, but why don't you try?
I'm totally uncultured, apparently.
It has nothing to do with, believe me, it has nothing to do with culture.
I have absolutely nothing.
Can you just make a guess?
Oh, geez.
You could be right. No, it is not Jesus. All guesses are wrong. It is neither the Proverbs of Jesus Christ, nor is it a printed dream journal that I know of. Here's what happens. If you put dream axe into the internet, you'll be directed to a website called Etaq, EETAQ.com, and find this dream interpretation that I am sure is stolen shamelessly from a printed source describing axes and dreams. It's so beautifully literal. It could only be on the U.S. version of the international successor of the popular Slovenian teen site, etalk.si, which has been online since 2006. I've just quoted to you the entirety of the about page of etalk.com. This site is international successor of popular Slovenian teen site, etalk.si. But I don't even think it begins to describe the weirdness of this site, etalk.com. The top navigation bar is separated into these categories: baby names, numerology, love time, fortune teller, biorhythm calculator, body mass index calculator, and dreams.
That I'll take love time for 400, Judge John right. Hodgman.
We obviously have a Slovenian teen in the audience in the form of guest bailiff Monty Belmonte, because they love numerology and love time. Anyway, there's no way you could have guessed it. I didn't, you know, what was I going to do? Quote, "So I married an axe murderer." It's not even a movie I've seen. So that's the one I came up with, you guys. Dream Axe. So neither of you got that right. So we're going to have to hear this case. Jen, Adrian is your boyfriend. Is that correct?
Yes.
Of some time, 3.5 years?
3.5 years.
All right. And you cohabitate without being married?
Yes, we do.
And you made an agreement that that you would have no weapons in your home?
Well, originally I had said no guns because Adrian used to hunt. Okay. I didn't know I needed to widen sort of the field that much until this dispute happened.
He found a loophole and now wants to put an axe above your shared mantelpiece.
Yes.
You would like me to order him no way. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Adrian, you guys are what ages?
I am a young at heart, 33.
I'm 28.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jen, for acknowledging that you are young. And so are you, Adrian, 33. You don't be young at heart. You were talking to a middle-aged man with terrible summertime facial hair, and which is an evolutionary signal to all around that I no longer deserve physical affection. You are young. Enjoy your youth. You are young enough to be silly enough to want to put an axe above your mantelpiece, which you will never use other than to look at. Why is Jen's prohibition of axes above mantles wrong?
I think, first of all, just from I'm no lawyer, but from a legalistic perspective, I was more than welcome to go with the no firearms deal that she had originally laid out, and I wasn't even going to try to game that system, looking at the definition of an actual firearm in our great country of Canada. And I don't know, just it kind of rubbed me the raw way, where it just came out of nowhere when I first saw that one beautiful axe that I wanted. It just kind of struck me as a nonsense rule. So I don't know about that it was that just put me over the edge, I figured you'd be real stubborn about it.
You are not a lawyer. What do you do in Canada?
I manage a compliance team for a bank up here.
It's basically the same as a lumberjack. And Jen, are you also a Canadian citizen?
Yes, I am.
And what do you do up there in Canada?
I am an editor.
Of what?
Textbooks for kindergarten to grade 12.
So obviously you have to carry a gun to work.
Yes.
But no, Adrian, you are licensed to own a firearm in Canada. You're the one that they allowed. It's one per year, right? One person per year, or maybe one man, one woman.
That's correct.
Just out of curiosity, you are a hunter or have been a hunter?
I used to live in our great capital, Ottawa. And when I was there, my roommate got more and more into hunting because he was originally a city boy. And it turned out that it was fun to go out shooting. So I jumped through the prerequisite hoops up here to get my license. I bought myself a gun.
Are there really hoops? Is that what it is? Because I think that just jumping through three hoops is how you get a gun in Texas. In Canada, I imagine it's a little bit stricter. All right. And what did you hunt for when you were hunting in Ottawa?
Oh, I didn't
Ottawa's a big city. When you're hunting human
just
prey,
target shooting.
Oh, okay, yeah. I like shooting guns at targets. That's fun. What were you shooting? I mean, I'm talking about inanimate targets, and like clay pigeons and junk.
Yeah, just I guess, pieces of paper at a range.
Yeah. Junk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you? What kind of gun were you shooting? A handgun or a rifle?
Mostly rifles, shotguns, and 22s mostly.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever throw axes at targets?
I did not, although there is actually about a 5-minute walk from our house. There is a what's called a backyard axe throwing league.
Sure. Well, you live in Canada.
Yes.
Where do you live in Canada?
We're in downtown Toronto.
Downtown Toronto, there's a backyard axe throwing deal? What?
It's also, my understanding, it's also BYOB.
What? Most of them.
Is that so you bring your axes and your beer and you just throw them?
I'm not sure if you're able to bring your own axes. I'd assume that you'd be able to. But
Well, then why would you want to have your own axe? First of all, let me say that I will be in Toronto on September 29th, performing as part of the Toronto Just for Laughs, Juste pour Rire festival. And you know I'm going to that urban axe throwing outfit.
There are many of them, actually.
Yeah,
it's amazing that Toronto has backyards at all.
I'm gonna do an axe throw BYOB pub crawl. So why do you want this axe? You work at a bank. You shot some guns, and now you want an axe in your home. Tell me what it's all about.
I think it's just kind of aesthetically pleasing. You know, evoking that old-timey British manor feel of, you know, the firearms over the mantle, of course, trying to act in accordance with my girlfriend's wishes of no firearms, though.
Are you saying that if Jen had not prohibited guns in the home, you would have put rifles up there?
No, I mean, maybe if I lived in some sort of sprawling manor out in the country and was, 100 years old and, an actual robber baron or something.
You are speaking that is my dream axe. Go on.
I don't think it'd be, I understand, the no firearm thing. And I think it's become, I know different cultural norms and everything, but I up here, that would definitely be a no-go with respect to some of the legalistic requirements regarding firearm storage.
So you're saying you would like to have firearms above the mantelpiece, but because that's both romantically and legislatively impossible for you, you're going to get an axe.
Yeah, basically. But I mean, also,
why not Anne Sword?
No.
I'm just trying to get a sense of whether there is any intrinsic attachment to axe at all in this equation, or whether it's all just, well, I ruled everything else out. Axe is what's left.
Axes are cool. I think they're.
Are they cool? How do they speak to you? What's going on here?
I just think, it's something that there's been a lot of, history with respect to humankind and this sort of hand tool going back. And, the particular axe I saw was, beautiful and hand forged and everything. That sort of attention to detail that you don't really see in a lot of, mass manufactured stuff these days.
Now, you sent in as evidence the specific axe that you want to buy.
Yes, I did.
This is item number 4901, the Gransfors double bit axe, based on from Gransfors Brook, Sweden, axe smiths. And this is a pretty Gimli looking axe. You know what I'm talking about? This is a double sided war axe.
Mm.
Just so people understand, it's 75 centimeters or 29 and a half inches long with a cutting edge of 16 centimeters or 6.3 inches, weighs 1.9 kilograms or 4.2 pounds, sheathed in a vegetable tan leather. Would you get 490-1 or 490-2, which has the longer handle at 89 centimeters, so you could use it as a working axe in the forest? You would get which one?
The longer handle.
The longer handle? Really?
All right. Yeah, I think
if you're going to get the axe, get the axe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you like about this axe?
It's just, you know, simple, but, you know, kind of, imposing, I guess. You know, it looks like a beautiful chunk of wood and a chunk of metal, and it's, you know, it seems kind of simple, but just beautifully put together.
Right. It's kind of hard to say, right? It's just, this is my axe. There are many others like it, but this one is mine.
Exactly.
It's the Axeman's Creed. And you want to get one axe, you don't want to get two axes and cross them?
I think that would be pushing the boundaries of my relationship a little bit far.
But that's kind of my fear, because Adrian does tend to buy one thing and then it just morphs into we have 10 of something.
Is this a slippery slope situation?
Yes.
Jen, are you afraid that if you allow one axe, all of a sudden it's going to be samurai swords above your bed?
Oh, yes,
and you're
going to
be
definitely
sleeping with that guy?
Yep.
I know you were talking about swords earlier, and that's something where I think I have enough self-control to draw the line. I don't ever want in my life become a sword guy. That's
if I were to ask you to define in a way that might convince your girlfriend to allow you to get an axe, how would you differentiate sword guy and axe guy?
I would say that myself.
You know
what?
You know what? I don't want
man.
You to jump into this. I really want you to make a really good argument. So I'm going to ask you to pause for a moment. I'm going to ask Jen some questions.
Okay.
Just think. So you think over that. All right, Jen.
Yep.
You've seen this axe.
Well, the
that
one
he
sent
buy?
You is different from the one we saw. The one
right,
he initially wanted to buy. The one he sent you is a little uglier.
All right then. I was going to ask you a series of questions like, are you afraid that like having a gun in the home, an intruder might use this axe against you? Or are you worried
yes.
that, oh, you are, all right, you're afraid of that. Okay. Are you afraid that Adrian is going to wake up and sleepwalk in the middle of the night and some nebulistically chop you up?
No, but.
And then I was going to ask you, let's get to the crux. Cause you know, I'm that crux finder. Is this axe ugly?
And
I was
going to
slowly tease out of you the admission that this is an ugly axe. and then we would have a huge moment, but you jumped the gun. You said, this is an ugly axe. And I got to tell you, everyone's entitled to their own taste, but I don't like this axe. This axe looks like cosplay axe. This axe
yeah,
looks like
it's like medieval
Lord of the
times.
Rings axe. Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I love work personship of all kinds, but this is not the axe that I would choose for my mantelpiece. And let me look at your mantelpiece. You sent in a picture, did you not?
Yes, we did.
All right. This is the stately manor where the axe will be displayed. And what I see here, and you can check it out on MaximumFun.org, is an empty fireplace that is clearly no longer in use. It's a white tile fireplace that, instead of having a fire in it, looks like you have a power strip, a surge protector in there. There's a nice gray chair with a black Labrador mutt on it on one side of the fireplace, and the dog's wire crate on the other side of the fireplace. And then above the fireplace, you have a silver rhinoceros or hippopotamus on the mantle. And above above the mantle, a ceramic head.
It's actually
sculpture.
It's a paper mache rhino.
A paper mache rhino. So is that a silver rhino on the mantelpiece?
It is, yes.
And who's got the rhino fetish in your family?
That would be me.
All right. So you own a lot of this real estate already with your rhino thing.
Yes.
Are you just trying? You just don't want him horning in? Oh my gosh, Joel Mann up here at WERU. We are laughing it up at my pun. Oh my goodness.
I loved it.
Thank you. I hated it. I'm sorry I ever said it. You just don't want him to move in on your mantelpiece real estate?
No, like I'm okay. We decorate the house together. You know, a lot of the things that have come in since we moved together, we've chosen together. And there are some stuff he's brought that he had before we started dating that I would not choose, but it's hung up because he had it. But going forward, I kind of would like to sort of agree on pieces.
I have to say, may I presume that this is a fairly small apartment?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got your dog crate basically in your fireplace. There is a nice place for an axe, though. I mean, there's that panel right above the fireplace. I guess is that a mirror?
Yeah, it is.
Is that mirror built into the fireplace?
It is, but they didn't cover it when they restained the fireplace, so it's kind of speckled with paint and primer.
Right, but where would the axe go? Are you going to get rid of that papier-mâché rhino head, Adrian, and the axe is going to go there?
I was actually thinking of either buying or building a classy wood stand to sort of go in the center of the mantle.
So it would sit on the mantelpiece and not hang on the wall.
That's correct.
Do you ever think about just hacking it into the wall and having it stick out?
Use an axe to hack into it.
Yeah, maybe just hack your axe into the wall and have it suspend a letter that says you're next. All right. You've had a few moments to collect your thoughts. This is probably going to determine the whole thing. Adrian, what is the difference between a sword guy and an axe guy?
So fundamentally, I think a sword guy is cheap and tacky. A sword guy is going to be the sort of one who goes to, the Renaissance fairs and goes to all these cheap mall kiosks and gets
these
really...
You are making a lot of Judge John Hodgman listeners angry right now. Then I'll allow it. Go on. I want to hear your unfiltered thoughts. I'm just saying, after this, you probably better have an axe in your house. Because there will be some cosplay elves coming at you with some hacky sack spells.
But that's it, exactly. The guys buying the swords, in my head, I just can't separate that from these, garish, impractical, Lord of the Ring type, mass-produced things that are I know this
maybe,
is weird to say.
Maybe you ought to also get a shovel to dig a deeper hole for yourself. All right, keep going.
But non-functional and garish and, covered in spikes or weird things that just don't, I personally find not aesthetically pleasing, not historic, not with no sort of historical significance either. And like just fundamentally cheap and mass produced.
Got it.
Whereas,
I'm sure there are some artisanal swordsmiths who would really disagree with you, but go on. Tell me about the beauty of the Axeman.
That's the thing. I don't think that the axe has the same sort of connotation as the axe continues to still be a working man's implement. I'll freely admit that I'm probably never going to use the axe. Like also, mm-hmm. In a tool drawer here, I have a small hatchet that I had a tree fall last year, so I used it to do a little bit of chopping there. But I mean, the chances of that happening again probably aren't too big. But the point
probably
is
involves
that,
in you picking up the hatchet and hitting a tree with it.
Yeah.
So you already have a hatchet in a drawer?
Yeah, but it's
any other blades?
Since...
Any other blades in your life?
He has a knife drawer, just a drawer full of pocket knives and hatchets.
But not of and hatchets. I have a single hatchet.
Tell me again why a guy who keeps a drawer full of knives is cooler than a guy who goes to a Ren fair or a samurai sword enthusiast.
Again, there it's about functionality. I mm-hmm. like to think that I don't have any cheap tacky knives. I mean, for the record, and they do sort of, they're not something I want to display. Jen actually has taken to borrowing them. She actually just last week managed to chip the blade off, or the tip of the blade off one of them, trying to open up a can of paint. Which is
is that what this is all about? You're mad because your girlfriend.
Oh, no. This when the axe dream first started, that was back in November.
Couldn't be more on the nose as a metaphor than that. My girlfriend took my knife.
But like
now,
I need to
put an axe on my mantelpiece to prove that I'm still a man.
That, oh my God,
I know. Yeah, you feel that, right, Ottawa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like I said, an axe is still really functional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
let me ask: Are you how many generations of Canadian are you?
On my mother's side, she's about as far back Canadian as you can go. Mm-hmm. My dad came here from Italy when he was 8, though.
Mm-hmm. But you feel a connection to Canada and its culture of tree chopping?
Oh, definitely.
I'm leading the witness. You understand? I'm helping you. Jen, are you how Canadian are you?
My dad came over when he was a kid too, and my mom is half Canadian and then half someone came over from Europe very recently.
Yeah, you just don't get it.
Yeah, basically.
Axes are like guns to Texans. Axons are Canadians like guns are to Texans, part of the heritage. Since you admit that you're never going to use this axe, why don't you just go, and I not to buzz market, but go to bestmadeco.com. You know that catalog, Best Made?
I do not.
All they do is make axes for people who are never going to use axes. They're a store in New York City, birthplace of lumberjacking, making beautiful axes that will never, ever, ever be used. You could get, I'm getting nothing from this company. They want to sponsor the podcast. That's great. That'll show us the Lickety Split, an American felling axe. The banderole. Oh my goodness! I want these axes now, and I don't want to say that Gransfors, Brook of Sweden has not made a beautiful axe in the double bit axe. It's truly beautiful, but it does. It looks like, for a guy who's so keen on deriding medieval phony weaponry, this looks pretty fantasy novel covery to me. And I think Jen probably agrees.
Yes, definitely.
Right. Tell me about the oil painting that you want to have commissioned. This was part of the letter that was sent
this
to me.
This is another disagreement.
I only found out recently that this was a disagreement.
No, you didn't.
Ignoring the real world expense in having a custom oil painting commissioned, I will again. I know I'm probably going to be accused of the pot calling the kettle black, but I want to get a oil painting about 6 feet by 4 feet or something.
Sure.
Done in the sort of pulp style of the Conan the Barbarian novellas, with myself except as a much more rugged man than I am. Mm-hmm. On some sort of throne, maybe of skulls. And my darling Jennifer at my side, probably scantily clad, and maybe that the cat perched on my throne and the dog at my feet.
And this axe would probably figure into this.
I think I would go for maybe an axe of some sort. Probably there. I would have to veer into the fantasy axe world.
And you had the nerve to deride Renfair people.
I like to think there's a difference between a painting that
Sir,
can be tastefully yeah. covered up by a garbage bag,
that would
to
certainly
an
be a nice look
of shoddily made in China.
Hey, quick question,
sorts.
Guys! Thanks for having me over to your new place. Looks great. Just quick question. Above the dog crate in the corner, what's that garbage? What's underneath that garbage bag? Is it an oil painting of you guys in a Conan the Barbarian pose? Jen?
Yeah, so there, I would
need,
totally...
Do you need help getting out of this relationship? How do you feel about this painting?
I thought this was discussed. It was just recently came up again, but I would go for a custom painting, but I thought it would be in the style of like old timey royal portraits,
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't want to get a comic book and have to look at a version of myself that doesn't exist and feel bad every day.
There is no old timey royal portrait that includes a throne of skulls and a scantily clad consort. That is pure Robert E. Howard going on in your mind. Forget that. It's John Norman's gore books. The fact that you laughed at that makes me understand you guys a lot better. Jen, I want you to look at bestmadeco.com, and I want you to look at their axes.
Yeah, he pulled it up, and actually that was the type of axe he showed me at first, and... That is a little better looking to me than the medieval whatever he sent.
Yeah. Now, which one of those do you like the best?
I kind of like the Bobby McGee Hudson Bay axe.
Yeah, good choice. Adrian, can you see this axe?
Yes, I can.
What do you think about it?
Well, I think it's a fine looking axe.
Why is that the wrong axe for you?
It's a good looking axe, but I mean, like I said, it is a good looking axe, but I mean, just it doesn't have the pop, and I'll even say that a little bit of the ugliness of my preferred axe.
How much does your axe cost?
I believe about the same. I think $250.
Canadian or American?
Canadian.
Jen, can you guys afford to spend
Unfortunately, yes, we can.
All right. How much is that oil painting going to cost?
With the exchange rate, it's probably a lot more.
Adrian, have you gone so far as to price the oil painting of you as the savage priest king of wild Ottawa?
No, I have not. And I accept it as a fiscal pipe dream.
All right. Yeah. Just a little prejudgment before I go into my chambers. Don't do that. Now I'll go into my chambers, think about this, and I'll come back in a moment and render my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Jen, Adrian, let me ask you a few questions here.
Boo.
The name of the episode is Asked and Answered. You chose it. Judge John Hodgman.
I'm not even here. I'm in my chambers.
Oh, yes, right. You're in your chamber. Sorry, right. Sorry about that. Jen.
Boo.
Yes.
He has a drawer full of knives.
Yeah.
That are ostensibly tools to him. What's the difference for you between weapon and tool? Like, could he have a nail gun?
Yes, if it's something he's going to use, but like an axe is a tool, but it's not a tool for his lifestyle. It's for a lifestyle he does not lead.
But you admitted, or at least acknowledged, that he had to use a hatchet at least at some point in your time together in the apartment that you live in.
He should not have used that hatchet. We should have called the city, but he took matters into his own hands.
That Hudson Bay axe is pretty cool looking. If he hung that, which could be functional, above the mantelpiece, in the remote possibility that he might actually have to use it someday, is that a possibility for your future here?
I mean, we're not going to break up over it, but I would strongly prefer not having an axe.
Now, if he decided to use axe body spray, are you okay with that?
No.
Yeah, neither. I'm definitely, that is right out, in my opinion. Now, Adrian, what is your definition of artisanal axe? That was part of what you submitted here. Like, where do we draw the line between what Judge John Hodgman has asked you to look at in this best made company and the axe that you have? What is this fine line? It needs to be ugly and medieval looking, but not for a Ren fair. And then just the one thing on your oil painting. Think about working a rhino into the oil painting, and you may be able to further pursue that avenue. That's just a little advice for you. We'll be back in just a moment with Judge John Hodgman's decision.
You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join, and you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right. I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
this isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I've got, and I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
Well, in terms of your taste, Adrian, let me say this. Canada is a big country. It's got a huge map, and you are all over it. I don't know what's going on with you turning your nose up at all these Gandalfs and then suddenly having some weird Hyboria fantasy of an oil painting in your house. And the truth is that your house you share with your beloved queen consort is modest. You don't have a study of your own.
I do not.
You are proposing to put a major and bold expression of your taste, of your fascination with bladecraft that you have difficulty articulating why it is so fascinating to you, other than people still use them, into the centerpiece of your home, the mantle, the hearth, the place where your most prized portraits or papier-mâché rhino heads are traditionally kept. It is a big move for someone who is sharing a life with another person. And this axe is a big axe. I mean, you're getting the extended length one, too. I don't know if it could be more on the nose than that. What's going on here? It is an axe that you consider and is clearly well made and has a history in North American woodcraft. It is a true forestry axe. But as you know, the double-sided axe has not actually been used in forestry for a long, long time. It doesn't look like a lumberjack axe of any kind. And as you say, this is an axe. The double-bit axe is designed for throwing. It is a throwing axe. It is not actually being used, but it is traditional. And blades are beautiful works of art. Whether you are talking about Damascus steel, Valyrian steel, or beautiful butter knives, silver plate, or axes. They can be very gorgeous. You put this court in a position, though, that it rarely is in. One of the precepts of the court is that people like what they like. There is no accounting for taste, and there is no sense trying to interfere with another person's taste or trying to force them to like something. You can expose people to movies that they haven't seen, but you can't keep them awake through those movies. The hard lesson I've learned with every movie that I've ever seen with my wife. And indeed, you are taking a piece of your taste and semi-literally throwing it into the wall that you share with a woman who just does not like it. And the difficulty that this court faces is that I also don't like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought this was going to be a no-brainer for Axeman when I read this thing. Because I'm like, this guy loves things that are well-made, is of Canadian heritage. There is a long hit tree with axe tradition in Canada. And I know that there are beautiful axes in the world. And this could make a very interesting conversation piece in a home. But when I opened up this page to see this Gimli-looking thing, I'm like, you might as well have a suit of armor in there. No. And so it's very hard because I want to respect your taste. You think that this is beautiful. And I don't. And more importantly, neither does Jen. Jen has an aversion to weapons in her home. And this looks like a weapon to me. This looks like something you use on an orc. It does not look like a piece of interesting craftspersonship to me. And so here's the thing. I don't want to deny you your passion of buying a beautiful art object. And if you want to buy this ugly axe and you can afford it, do it. But you can't put it above that mantelpiece unless your cohabitant romantic partner agrees and likes it and thinks it's beautiful. Now, I pushed hard for Best Made in this one. Because they are the non plus ultra. I don't know that there's a PepsiCo or RC Cola nipping at the heels of the number one art axe making company in the world, which is Best Made, as far as I know. And I'm getting no money from them, and I don't expect to. But I look at those axes, and I'm like, I want those above every mantelpiece in my house. I'm going to build mantelpieces in order to put an axe up there. But that's just my taste. Do you know what I mean? And I wasn't going to push a Best Made axe on you, as tempted as I was. Especially since, as far as I knew, this was a New York City company. But while you were jibber-jabbering with Monty Belmonte and I was in my chambers, I looked it up. Guess what, dudes? This is a Canadian company. Or at least it started by a Canadian. These are Canadian axes. To me, not to mix metaphors, but a beautiful Canadian axe of a contemporary wood chopping style should be number one with a bullet for your mantelpiece. That, to me, is an aesthetically sound decision. But again, it's not me. So here's my ruling. Whether it's Best Made or something similar to it, if you can convince Jen that your Canadian-made axe, or internationally-made axe, is beautiful, and she really feels it, you can get one and put it above your mantelpiece. Well, I think that Bobby McGee Arctic Ice Axe, or whatever it is, looks pretty hot. I'm thinking about getting one. Maybe I'll start an Amazon wish list. just like I'm a beautiful girl on the internet. People buy me one. Oh, by the way, everybody, don't send me any axes in the mail. If you were seriously thinking about it, that would be crazy. That would be like having a drawer full of knives. But if your heart is set on this double bit throwing axe, and it may well be, and you may find it be very beautiful, and you work in a bank where you need an axe, I think you should get it. But you can't put it above your mantelpiece. You got to put it. Can you put it in your office at the bank? That'd be fun. That'd send a goddamn message, wouldn't it? So my ruling is no can do on double bit axe above the mantelpiece. I think you can find one that Jen can accept. But if your heart says double bit axe forever, buy it and put it in your drawer. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules, that is all.
Jen, is the best made Hudson Bay axe a potential compromise here?
It could be. It looks like something Gaston from Beauty and the Beast would have, so I can get behind that.
You're a Beauty and the Beast fan. See how we're softening the ground here, Adrian? What about, let's say, fire safety, glass enclosed, Gimli axe, so that if there were a fire, you could break the glass and then take the Gimli axe out, and then you'd both kind of be happy. It'd be prominently displayed, so it'd be easy to find in case of a fire. Possibly a compromise?
I could definitely get behind that compromise.
I'll just toss this out. What about, and I know how you feel about Ren Fairs, but what about a replica Valyrian steel broadsword, but the pommel is carved in the shape of a rhinoceros head?
I am loving this.
Go ahead, Monty. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Just buy the other double, you know, two-bit axe and put a garbage bag over it. You seem predisposed to using that as a compromise when it comes to pursuing your dreams. You throw a garbage bag on it? No? All right. Well, Adrian, how do you feel about the decision?
It's totally fair. I mean, I'm thinking about maybe one of the compromises axes if, you know, Jen will be able to deal with a more modern forestry-style piece. But I wouldn't be opposed to that. I mean, compromise is at the heart of any relationship.
Any other kind of antiquated weapons that you'd be willing to put up on top of your mantelpiece?
Let's not get into that. That would probably be another.
You have your heart set on an axe and a Conan the Barbarian oil painting of yourself.
Remember, Adrian, a compromise, a good compromise, like a double bit axe, cuts both ways. Mm-hmm. And please don't hunt me for sport.
Thank you both for being on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you. Thanks.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Toronto, Monty.
Toronto.
Toronto. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto, biggest city in Canada. What does it have in common with Boston, Atlanta, St. Louis, Chicago, Iowa City, Madison, Minneapolis, Vancouver, Portland, and San Francisco?
All in North America.
All Canadian cities. Great Canadian cities. And some non-Canadian cities that I will be touring in this September and October with all new hour and some minutes of comedy. Probably 75 minutes of comedy with meets and greets after and maybe some crowd work. I don't know. A new show called Vacation Land.
Oh.
Based in no small part upon the state that is known as Vacation Land. I'll leave it to you guys to look it up on the internet. JohnHodgman.com/tour is where you can find all of the dates. They're going to be great, fun shows. It's all new material that I feel very, very proud of, and I look forward to sharing it with you. And then meeting and greeting any of you who wish to hang out afterward in the lobby or wherever's and signing things and even taking photos if you insist. Though I think looking each other for a long time in the eye is a more meaningful interaction, but that's how I feel.
Did I get a taste of that show at the Solid Sound Festival a couple weeks ago?
You may have gotten a taste of that show at the Solid Sound Festival a couple weeks ago, Monty. What did you think?
I thought it was very funny.
Good.
I love the picture, the window into the soul of John Hodgman. You go beyond just sheer comedy. I get a picture of you as a human being, which I appreciate even more.
Yeah, it's a window into my soul. You open that window and it's a howling thunderstorm inside.
Right. I want to put a garbage bag over it and then hang an axe up on top of it and open it.
Monty, thank you very much for joining us from Northampton, Massachusetts, one of my many hometowns. From WRSI The River, WRSI.com, a great radio station.
Thank you.
I should say that I am joining you from Blue Hill, Maine, the state that was formerly part of Massachusetts. To my left sits Joel Mann, engineering live from this studio C here at WERU Community Radio at 89.9 FM, also WERU.org. Is this a free form radio station? It is a free form radio station. I got the thumbs up from Joel. That means people play whatever they want as a dying art form that is alive and well here in the state of Maine. Dirigio, I direct. That is the state motto of Maine. Is it not, Joel? Dirigo, sorry.
Dirigible.
Dirigible is the state motto.
It's the state balloon of Maine.
I stand corrected. Do you know what the state motto of Massachusetts is, Monty?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
wicked pissa.
I can't remember either.
Yeah.
My computer just died. We'll look it up next time, or I'm sure someone will write in for someone on the internet is right section and remind me of what it is.
In the 80s, it was make it in Massachusetts with the thumbs up, but I don't think that was the official like Latin motto.
No, I don't think was the official motto, right? Nor was Yankees suck.
Right. That's always the motto. Basically.
But if you know the official state motto of Massachusetts and want to get it to me before I have a chance to look at Wikipedia this evening, you can write to me always at Hodgman@MaximumFun.org or use the case dispute submission form at MaximumFun.org/JJHO. That's JJHO. If you have a dispute with anyone in your life, whether they are your boyfriend of 3.5 years in Toronto, or your brother of your whole life in various parts of Massachusetts or wherever you are, whatever it is, please write in. I will review your case. No case too big nor small. Some cases too medium. And we'll put it on the air or handle it in a docket if your dispute is deemed worthy. And I will tell you who is right and who is wrong. And whether or not we use your case, I'm always glad to hear you. I'm always glad to hear from you. And I always read everyone that comes through my transom. I get all of my email delivered via transom. Monty, who named this show?
Danny Lewin named the show. And he named it Axed and Answered. I've been your guest bailiff, Monty Belmonte. Thank you again to Joel Mann at WERU. Julia Smith produces the show. Mark McConville is our editor. Thanks for joining us for the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
And whatever Hannibal Buress tells you, on Twitter or on his TV show, why? A hot dog is not a sandwich. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.